If you have a copy of God's Word, you can join me in the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, and that's where we're going to be at least for the next 4 weeks as we kind of kick off a series looking at this book. It's a powerful book. It's a short book, and it's an interesting book. Unlike most of the prophets, this is really telling the story of a prophet, kind of telling his journey. And most of the prophets don't tell this much biography about a particular person. Outside of the book of Jonah, we don't know a whole lot about Jonah. We do know when he lived. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25 tells us that he lived during the reign of King Jeroboam II, a king of the northern tribes, those 10 tribes that broke off and went to the north. And so he kind of prophesied in this northern kingdom area, and it was his job and his duty and responsibility in that area. We also know that Jesus kind of verified or this idea of Jonah's existence in Matthew 12, verses 39 through 41, when he talks about Jonah and refers to Jonah. We do know also some things about Jonah, that Jonah had a specific mission that God gave him. We're going to read about it in just a moment. But God told him, you take a message of judgment to the people of Nineveh. And the people of Nineveh weren't the best of people. As a matter of fact, Nineveh was the chief city of Assyria. It was a place of a lot of pagan worship and idol worship. It was a very wicked place. And when I mean wicked, they took evil and they said, let's find new ways to be bad. Let's find new ways to be evil. Let's be creative. Let's just not just do the things that we've always done, but let's get creative with this stuff. And so they had found new ways to be wicked, new ways to be bad. They kind of took things to the extreme, so to speak. And to top it all off, they were enemies of Israel. And later on, the Assyrians, Nineveh was the chief city of, the Assyrians would come in and overthrow the northern kingdom in like 722 BC. And so this was a wicked place. And God tells Jonah to take a message of judgment to these wicked people. You know, it's tough to speak truth to people you love. It's really tough to speak a message of truth to people that you really don't like or don't really want to talk to. And that's the story of Jonah. That's part of the background of what's going on, is God is telling Jonah to take this message of the judgment of God to some people that he really didn't like and that most Israelites didn't like. Now, overall, the book of Jonah is really a reminder of God's mercy. And Jonah knew that. Jonah knew that when he took a message of judgment about God's justice and about God's judgment, he knew that it meant also a message of God's mercy. Later on in Jonah chapter 4, verse 2, and we see that Jonah acknowledges that. He said, I knew when you sent me to Nineveh that you would be a compassionate God, that if they repented, you would forgive them. And he knew that. He knew that as God gave his message of judgment, that he was also going to follow it with mercy if the people of Nineveh would repent. What a wonderful reminder that God's calling us to take the message of mercy to our neighbors. He's calling us to take the message of his gospel to those who need it, those who are struggling, those who aren't like us, those who have different ideas than us. And so as we think about Jonah, let's think about this idea of God calling us to take his message, his gospel, to offer mercy to our neighbors. Let's pray first and we're going to dive on in. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for allowing us to be here. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to spend time in your word. And Father, I pray that whatever you want to do in this moment, our hearts would be receptive to what you want to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so the message is all about mercy, or Jonah seems to be all about mercy. I remember when I was a kid, one of my favorite holidays, and it's coming up in a few weeks, was Valentine's Day. I think I like Valentine's Day because we would make a box up, or sometimes we took a milk jug and we would cut the top off of it and have a handle and decorate it, and we would take it to class and take it to school, and people would put all kinds of Valentines. You know those Valentines that have the sucker in them? I love those things. And don't eat as much of that because the dentist says stay away from that stuff. And so I try to stay away from some of the hard candy as much as possible, but I do love some stuff. Anyway, and so I loved all that. And I remember when it came upon us, the time for Valentine's Day came, the teacher would send out a notice to our parents, okay, you need to bring these things for the Valentine's Day party. And they also supplied a list of all the kids in the class. Every kid in the class, all of their names, so that we could give every kid, didn't want anybody left out, everybody was to get a Valentine. Whether you got the cheap ones that were just a little card, or you got the ones that had the sucker in them, or whatever, you gave out candy or not, but everybody was supposed to get a Valentine. That's the way it went. I'll be honest with you, there were some years I had a problem with that. There's some people I didn't like in my class. Can you believe that? There's some people I didn't like. And there's people I didn't like in my class, and I didn't want them to have. I'm like, I like most of these people, but that guy, we had problems on the playground. I don't want to give him a Valentine. I struggle with that. You know, every year my mother and teacher always won out. Everybody got a Valentine from Aaron Armstrong. Whether I felt they deserved it or not, they all got one. You know, we all have been there, haven't we? We've all had people in our life that we're thinking, I don't want to spend a lot of time with this person. I don't want to give anything extra to this person. I don't want to give of myself to this person because they've taken so much, or they've been difficult, or they've been a difficult person. We've all had difficulty with that nosy neighbor, or that backstabbing coworker, or that loud-mouth parent if you're a teacher, or that mean boss. We've all dealt with that Valentine situation. There's all these people, and we like most of them, but some of them we would just rather not. But as followers of Christ, we're called to rise above that. As followers of Christ, we're called to love everyone. We're called to share the good news, the gospel with everyone. In Jonah, chapter 1, we see that God is calling Jonah to this task. He's calling him to follow him. He's calling him to take the message of judgment, which he knew meant mercy. Jonah was aware of it. And Jonah was hesitant. Actually, Jonah was more than hesitant. We'll see in just a moment. See, as God called Jonah, Jonah ran. Jonah left. He went the other way, the complete opposite way of where he went. He should have been going north, and he went south. He took off. He was like, I'm going the opposite way of Nineveh. I don't want near it. I don't want around it. I've got to go. I've got to get out of here. And maybe you've been there before. God's called you to share the gospel with someone. Maybe God's called you to serve someone. Maybe God's called you to love someone. Maybe God's called you to plug in and get serving in the local church, and you've not joined in what he's doing. You've run the other way. As Jonah runs, we see that God shows him who he shows Jonah who God really shows mercy to. See, God doesn't just show mercy to those that we think he should show mercy to. God doesn't just love those that we love. He doesn't just care for those that we care for. That God shows mercy to much more, a much broader audience than we think he probably should. The first section of people we see, we find in the first few verses, and it's the Ninevites, it's that God shows mercy to the wicked. We don't think you should sometimes. Maybe we don't think God should. But let's pick the story up. Jonah 1, verses 1 and 2. Here's what God's word says. It says, now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, large city, a vast city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me. Now, notice this call wasn't just a call, you need to go. It's the word of the Lord came to Jonah. It wasn't an idea of Jonah's. It was God's word. God said, I want you to go do this. It was very specific. God was very clear in what he wanted him to do. Now, we've all experienced, in some ways, different callings. There's a general calling that all of us as followers of Jesus have. It's a general calling to go and to do certain things. Matthew 28 is a general call. If you're a follower of Jesus, you have that call that God says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're called to go make disciples of all nations. That's a general call, but Jonah 1 is a specific call. I want you to go take the gospel to a specific person. And maybe you've received that at some point in your life, that God told you, I want you to go and minister to this person, or I want you to go and be part of this ministry, or I want you to go and serve this person, or I want you to go and talk to this neighbor, I want you to go and talk to this coworker. That's exactly what Jonah was going through. He was going through that struggle that God had called him to a specific task. And look what his response was. God says, go to Nineveh. Go share this message of judgment. Go tell them that they need to repent. Go tell them they need to turn back to the Lord, or turn to the Lord. And look what verse 3 says. But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare, went into it to go with them to Tarshish away from the presence of the Lord. Now you would hope, I think you would hope a man of God would do what God says do. But here's this man of God who's been proclaiming the glory of God, the judgment of God, the ways of God to the people of God for so long. And then God tells him to do something outside of the box and he bolts. Maybe you've been there. Maybe you've done that. Maybe God's called you to something and he's called you to a task and you've run the other way. We do this a lot in our life, don't we? God tells us to do something and we go the other way. A few years ago, Julie and I went to New Orleans for a little day trip. We had gone down south to the Gulf Coast to take a few days away, and we went to New Orleans just a little quick day trip. Hey, I wanted to go and see New Orleans, and trust me, I didn't need to spend more than a day there, and if you're from there, I'm sorry. If you're listening online and you're from there, I'm sorry. I'm probably not going to go back. Anyway, I might. If the Lord told me to, I would go. But we're in New Orleans, and we're walking down one of the side streets, and this person that's not with it, is walking toward us, staggering and stammering. Clothes are tattered and old and torn. I grab my wife by the hand, and we go across the street, and we walk up. And I thought to myself, and I think of myself a lot. A lot of times I pursue my safety. I pursue what's comfortable for me, rather than doing what God has called me to do. How often does God put people right before our eyes? Now, I'm not saying I shouldn't have gotten my wife to safety. I'm not saying that. But in my everyday life, how often are there people that we meet? People, that coworker, that neighbor, that person that God's put right in front of us, and we're either so busy with our lives or we're so worried about our interaction with them that we just go the other way. We do this with the gospel. God tells us to reach our neighbors, and we say, hey, we're going to be focused on ourselves. God tells us to go out of the highways and hedges and compel people to come in so that his house might be full. And what we do is be more focused on what the climate's like inside God's house, our comfort we want. And Jonah struggled with it, and we struggle with it. Now notice the effort that Jonah goes to avoid going to Nineveh. What he goes through, it says at first he goes down to Joppa. This was a several day journey. I mean, he had to go a long way by foot to Joppa, by the coastal region, to find a boat and then schedule one to go to Tarshish. And then on top of that, he had to pay a fare. It was great expense to run from the presence of the Lord. Folks, I want you to know something. There's great expense to us in running from the presence of the Lord, and it's not always financial. Sometimes it is. Folks, for me, it has been. When I've not done what God's wanted me to do, folks, it has come at a financial cost. But it's also come at relationship cost. It's also come more specifically at a spiritual cost to run from the presence of the Lord. And here's Jonah, and he's running from God's presence. Yet the whole time, God was simply saying, I want to show my mercy to the people in Nineveh. Would you just simply go? And I often wonder for you, and I wonder for myself, and I wonder for our church. Who's God wanting us to reach out to? And how are we so busy and worried about ourselves that we don't go? And we don't reach out to them. And we don't share the gospel with them. Because we're so busy with what we've got going on. We're so busy with our schedule. We're so busy with what we have that we neglect. Or we're so concerned about ourselves that we neglect what God has called us to. Not only does God show mercy to the wicked, but God shows mercy to the worldly. We see that after he jumps on this boat, he encounters some sailors. And actually, most of this chapter is about his engagement with these sailors. And I'm calling them the worldly, and we'll see in just a moment why we'd refer to them this way. But let's pick up in verse 4. Verse 4 says this, but the Lord, after he's on the ship, but the Lord hurled a great wind upon the sea, and there was a mighty tempest on the sea, so that the ship threatened to break up. Then the mariners were afraid. Each cried out to his God. They hurled the cargo that was in the ship into the sea to lighten it for them. But Jonah had gone down into the inner part of the ship, to the hull of the ship, and had lain down and was fast asleep. Just want you to know that in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it says he was snoring. Just, you know, so... dude was cold in the middle of a storm. Verse 6 says, "So the captain came to him and said to him, 'What do you mean, you sleeper? Arise, call out to your God. Perhaps the God will give a thought to us that we may not perish.'" Jonah gets in the boat and thinks he's in the clear. He thinks everything's fine. I mean, isn't that what we do when we run from the Lord? Is we get a little bit away and we think, okay, good, he's going to stop bugging me. God's going to stop telling me to reach this person. God's going to leave me alone. I'm going to get over here to this place and I'm going to be safe. And the reality is that Jonah couldn't run from God. The reality is for you and me, we cannot run from God. As a kid, one of my favorite games at night to play in our little subdivision we grew up in was hide and seek. Anybody play hide and seek out at night with their friends? I've heard some stories of some of y'all playing hide and seek and someone getting knocked unconscious. What about that? Anyway, some of y'all know that story I'm talking about. And so we loved to play hide and seek. It was our favorite thing. And the reality is that everybody almost always, whether they revealed themselves or they didn't, they were found. You just couldn't hide. There weren't just that many places. And the reality is you found that the longer you played hide and seek with people, you began to know where they liked to hide. Some people would hide behind the shrubs that were two houses down, and some people would hide behind the little shed that was in the back of my house, and some people would hide and get in the crawl space underneath my house. I mean, the reality is that you begin to find out where people would hide. There was no running. Folks, the God of the universe has called us to join him in his mission of taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And there's no running from him. There's no hiding from him. Jonah found that out, and the reality is we need to know it. There's no running from him. And so here is Jonah. He's on this boat with these sailors, and they're concerned and they're worried that the ship's about to break up. They're calling and crying out to their gods, and they wake Jonah up and said, "You need to wake up and call out to your God. Perhaps we've tried everything we can. Maybe you've got something that we don't have." Comes to be that Jonah does. Look at verse 7. "And they said to one another, 'Let us cast lots that we may know on whose account this evil has come upon us.' So they cast lots. The lot fell to Jonah. Then they said to him, 'Tell us on whose account this evil has come upon us. What is your occupation? Where do you come from? What is your country? Of what people are you?'" One of the most interesting things that changes every conversation I'm in is when someone asks me what I do for a living. I say I'm a pastor, and there's either two responses. "Oh, I'll go to church," or, "Oh." But not much else said. The conversation usually ends itself. And so here they are, and they're asking him what he does. And in verse 9, here's what he said. "I'm a Hebrew. I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the dry land." The men were exceedingly afraid and said to him, "What is this you've done?" For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he told them. Here is Jonah, and he's on his way from the presence of the Lord. He finds himself in the midst of all of this. And these sailors, they had been calling out to their gods. They had been doing everything. They had been trying everything. They'd been attempting everything. And they found out that Jonah is the cause. They found out that he is the one that's causing all of this. That because he's with them, that's why they're in this storm. These worldly, idol-worshipping sailors actually got the first real answer. I mean, think about it. They had, earlier in the story, we see that in the counter, we see that they are calling out to their God, and they're not getting any answer. They cast lot. The lot lands to Jonah. Folks, I want to let you know something. God caused that lot to land the way it did because it was God speaking. The first real answer they had received was from God. There's a lot of people in our world today that are looking for answers. And they're crying out to false gods. They're looking to money. They're looking to, to relationships. They're looking to jobs. They're looking to all kinds of things to bring them happiness. And we've got the answer. We've got the gospel. We've got the good news. And it's our job to share it. Look at verses 11 through 16. We see that here is Jonah, and he is found out to be the cause of all the problem. And they said to him, "What shall we do to you that the sea may quiet down for us?" For the sea grew more and more tempestuous. There you go. Sorry. It's early. He said, I didn't preach for 2 weeks. He said to them, pick me up and hurl me into the sea. Then the sea will quiet down for you. For I know it's because of me that this great tempest has come upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to get back to the dry land. Even after he told them to throw him out of the boat, they just keep on. But they could not, for the sea grew more and more tempestuous. There you go. Anybody want to say that word for me? Tempestuous. Called out. I lost it today. Therefore, they called out to the Lord. O Lord, let us not perish for this man's life. Lay not on us innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked up Jonah, and they hurled him in the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. What's it going to take to calm the sea? They asked Jonah. And Jonah says, you toss me into it. And these guys at first, we can't do that. We can't toss this guy into the sea. And so they start rowing harder, and things get more tempestuous. There it is. I can't say the word. But things get rough. Things get difficult. And they can't go on. They can't continue. So they throw him into the water, and everything changes. Jonah's response to them is both sacrificial and prophetic. Here's how it's sacrificial. He offers his life for them. Throw me into the water and you'll live. If I die, you'll be okay. And here's how it was prophetic. Jonah giving of himself foreshadows one who would give himself for you and for me. It foreshadows Christ, who laid down his life. It foreshadows the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. The reality is we are in a raging storm of life. We are dealing with all kinds of problems. We're dealing with all kinds of issues. And the only salvation we have, the only deliverance we have, is found in one who laid down his life for us. What a wonderful, wonderful Savior we have. And what a wonderful picture. Now look at how these guys respond. It's amazing. Verse 16, it says, then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows. You notice how the tone changes of these guys? Earlier verses are saying, call out to your God, little g. They're calling out to their gods, little g. But in verses 15 and 16, they're calling out to capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the personal name of God, Yahweh. They're crying out to the Lord. Things begin to change for these guys. God wants to show mercy to the worldly. He wants to show mercy to those that we encounter every single day. Not just the really, really wicked, evil people, but everybody who we see every day who doesn't know the Lord. They're living moral lives. They're living good lives. They're doing the best they can. They're worshiping whatever they worship, their job, their money, whatever they're doing. They're doing that, but God wants to show mercy to them. And finally, in the closing verse, we see this, that God wants to show mercy to the wayward. Not just the wicked and not just the worldly, those that we meet every day, but for many of us who find ourselves wayward, look at verse 17. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Notice the Lord appointed. I love that. The Lord appointed the fish. He appointed a fish to come and to swallow Jonah. God shows mercy to Jonah by sending a fish. He didn't have to save him. The story could be over here. We could hear that God allowed him to go into the sea, and the sea took him, and he was over, and that was it. He could have allowed him to perish, but he sends a lifeboat, not an ordinary lifeboat, one that smelt, one that wasn't great. But God provided salvation for Jonah. It may not have been the means that Jonah wanted, but it was God's means. Folks, God doesn't always deliver the way we want him to. But often he's faithful to deliver. Several years ago, Julie and I was young in ministry. We had a six-month-old, and I've told the story before. We were frustrated with where we were in ministry, and so an opportunity came to plant a church in Ohio, and I said, hey, I want to plant a church in Ohio. And so we packed up everything, and we moved to Ohio, and we stayed there a week, and we moved back home. Moved to my grandmother, lived in my grandmother's house for 13 months with my grandmother and my young child and my wife. Did part-time ministry at a church, ended up moving on to full-time at that church before I moved on to, back to pastoring again. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was the mercy of God. And maybe you found yourself in situations in life where God is delivering you and it's not what you wanted and it's not the job you wanted and it may not be the situation you wanted, it may not be the house you wanted, it may not be all the circumstance you want, but the reality is God has been merciful and God has been good. God was merciful and God was good to Jonah. Notice something else about verse 17. It says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. See, God's mercy to Jonah points to a greater mercy. And that mercy is the one who was in the grave 3 days and three nights for you and for me. Jesus. That's what this whole story is pointing to. It's alluding to. The whole Old Testament is pointing forward to Jesus. It's sharing God's mercy. And Jonah's mercy simply foreshadows God's mercy to us in Jesus Christ. God's been merciful to us. If we have salvation, it's his mercy. If we've been saved and we're walking in forgiveness of sin, that's God's mercy. You're like, Brother Aaron, what's mercy? Here's mercy. Here's the best definition of mercy that I can give you. Simple. Here's what mercy is. Mercy is God not giving you what you deserve. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve, but mercy is God not giving you, holding back his judgment. Here's Jonah receiving God's mercy. So who does God show mercy to? Just to sum it up, God shows mercy to all who repent and follow him. Everybody who repents and follows him gets mercy. Everybody who repents of their sin, everybody who turns from their ways and turns back to him, anyone who repents and follows him, they get mercy. So what does that mean for us? It means three quick things. And if you jot nothing down, just jot these three things down for Jonah chapter 1. So what do we do because God shows mercy to all who repent and follow him? Number one, we need to share the gospel. We need to be about the business of sharing the good news of the gospel. And not just here on Sunday, but all throughout the week when we get opportunity, when we see a neighbor, we see a coworker, it needs to be on our mind and our heart to share the good news of the gospel. Sharing the gospel means sharing the judgment of God and sharing the mercy of God. Mark chapter 1, verse 15, I was reading this week. Jesus comes and here's what he declares. One of the first things Jesus says in the gospel, Mark, is this. Repent and believe in the gospel. I mean, he told them, you need to turn your life around. There's some things that are not right. Repent or you're going to experience judgment and believe in the mercy of God, the gospel. And so I encourage you this week, as God gives you opportunity, share the gospel with somebody. Like, Brother, I don't know the Roman road. I don't have that memorized. Get John 3:16 and start right there. Just start right there. Share that with somebody. Spend some time sharing that with somebody. Read that in your time with the Lord this week and seek an opportunity to share the gospel this week. Number two, serve others. It's amazing how Jonah laid down his life for these sailors. He said, just toss me in. I mean, here's a guy that was running from the Lord. He was a guy running from God's presence. But he was willing to lay down his life for these folks. Jesus laid down his life for us, and he's called us to lay down our life for others. John 15 Verse 13 says this. Jesus is talking to his disciples and he says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So this year, as we move into 2022 with all the bumps and the chaos and the rising numbers and whatever else we face, God wants us to serve our community. So this year, we're going to go on again with our backpack ministry, and we're going to be sharing with you the next few weeks on how we're going to collect stuff over the course of the spring to prepare for our backpack ministry. As we move into summer and to fall, we're going to gather things again for Operation Christmas Child and begin to serve those children in far areas. We're going to have some serve days as we move through the course of this year. We're going to seek opportunities to serve others. Why? Because people need to know the mercy of God. People need to know the forgiveness that's found in the gospel. So we need to be about the business of serving others. Third thing I want to challenge you, stop and recognize God's mercy. I think we get so busy living lives, so busy going on our schedule that we just forget how merciful and good God is. I'm really intrigued by the sailors in this story. After the sea stops and Jonah's cast into the water and all the stuff, it says they offered sacrifices and they offered prayers to the Lord, to Yahweh. They responded to mercy with worship. Folks, if we've received the mercy of God, shouldn't we worship with a little more volume? Shouldn't we worship with a little bit more desire? Shouldn't our worship be more ignited? If we've really received the mercy of God, then folks, we need to worship like we've received the mercy of God. We need to stop and recognize God's mercy, and not just in church, but every day. We've been forgiven of our sin in Jesus Christ. We've been given new life. We were dead, and now we're alive. We had a heart of stone, and he's given us a heart of flesh. We've been changed, and we need to stop and recognize God's mercy in our life. Next week, we're going to look at Jonah's prayer and what God's mercy looks like in the belly of a fish. But for this week, let's look opportunities this week to share the gospel. Let's look for opportunities this week to serve others. And daily, let's just stop and pause. Stop and recognize God's mercy in our life. Let's pray.